This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Good morning. This is Derek Haskins, Communications Director for the South Dakota Department of Health. Thank you for joining us for our daily COVID-19 case update call. I'm joined by Secretary of Health Kim Alsom-Risden and State Epidemiologist Dr. Josh Clayton. And Dr. Clayton will go over today's case update, and then we will take your questions. So I'll turn it over to Dr. Clayton.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Today we're reporting 83 new cases of COVID-19 in the state. This does include 15 new hospitalizations. We have zero new deaths to report, but I do have one quick update that after our media briefing yesterday, we received some additional information that yesterday's discussion around risk factors in the individuals in the 30 to 39 year age categories. We did get an update in that the most recent death in that age group did have an underlying medical condition. So we are just wanted to make sure that we updated to that, that two of the three deaths that we had within that age range did have underlying medical conditions. We have 79 new recovered individuals from COVID-19 and 937 new negative tests that have been performed. In total, that brings our COVID-19 case count to 4,793 cases. Of those, 1,041 are active infections, and 3,698 individuals have recovered from COVID-19. We have 105 individuals who are currently hospitalized and 54 deaths. In total, we have received 34,233 total negative tests that have been performed in the state. We have no updates for the community impact map. Cases by county include 1 in Aurora, 27 in Beetle, 5 in Brown, 1 in Buffalo, 2 in Charles Mix, 1 in Coddington, 1 in Davison, 2 in Davison, 1 in Hand, 1 in Jackson, 3 in Girald, 1 in Lake, 1 in Lincoln, 1 in Lyman, 17 in Minnehaha, 1 in Moody, 1 in Oglala Lakota, 14 in Pennington, 1 in Sanborn, 1 in Todd, and 1 in Union. For new cases by age range, we have 14 in the 0 to 19 year age category, 23 in the 20 to 29 year age category, 12 in the 30 to 39 year age category, 7 in the 40 to 49 year age category, 12 in the 50 to 59 year age category, 7 in the 60 to 69 year age category, 5 in the 70 to 79 year age category, and 3 in the 80 and over category. For new cases by sex, we have 38 that are male and 45 that are female. For updates of businesses with clusters, we have Demcota with 153 cases and Jack Lynx with 66 cases. Thank you.
Regarding Jack Lynx, I wanted to provide an update. This is Kim Alsom-Risden, since we did have some questions about this yesterday. So since our briefing yesterday, both Governor Noem and I have personally visited with Kevin McAdams, who's the president of Jack Lynx. And have had an opportunity to review the practices and some of the measures that they have taken to keep their team members safe at the facility in Alpena. I was, you know, very pleased to hear about the detailed preventative measures that they are taking there, including things like flexible attendance policies, symptom checks of their workers on a daily basis, addition of physical barriers, PPE use, and just general sanitation and janitorial processes. So one thing that we did discuss is the ability to do mass testing, and so we are working towards that, and Jack Lynx is hoping to be able to provide that to their workforce as early as this weekend. So just a bit of an update there. We appreciate their partnership and really feel like they're being proactive in trying to address the situation that they have there.
I'll unmute our lines, and then we'll take your questions.
Good morning, JP at KORN News Radio.
Go ahead, JP.
Thank you very much. Could you tell me, are any of the negative or positive tests at the nursing homes and assisted living facilities included in these daily numbers, or are they in a separate category?
So the efforts that we have with our partners in the long-term care facilities to conduct mass testing, the numbers for those facilities that have been tested, both the positives and the negatives, are included in our daily update. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next question.
Megan Ratt, News Center 1 here.
Go ahead, Megan.
Hi, is the state updating their model projections, or do you see a shifted peak from the last time the curve was released? And then a follow-up question to that is, how is tourism being accounted for and what the state is expecting?
So, Megan, this is Kim Olsen-Reisden. So we are, you know, we have used the modeling that we've been doing to date really for the purposes of planning for hospital surge. And so the purpose of that modeling was to ensure that we would be ready with enough hospital capacity, kind of with a worst-case scenario in mind. Having said that, you know, and working with the hospitals across the state, we have a good plan in place. Obviously, our numbers of hospitalizations has been lower than what we projected, which is a great thing. And so at this point, we don't think that the modeling itself will need to be updated for the purposes of that hospital preparation. To your question around tourism and its impact, we've been working with the Monument folks to understand how they are anticipating some of the tourism activity to be impactful, especially in the West River area and the Black Hills. And so that has come in on some of the local modeling, particularly in that part of the state. I think they could explain to you a little bit about what that looks like. I know they put a press statement out here just yesterday as well about thinking that area of the state will be peaking earlier, which was the case in the eastern part of the state as well.
And then the updates that we have made to the dashboard also focused on that hospital bed capacity, allow individuals the opportunity to see, you know, what the overall impact of COVID-19 is in the state. And so, you know, there's a greater focus on making sure that individuals can see and understand how COVID-19 is impacting the state.
Next question.
This is Morgan at City Journal.
Go ahead, Morgan.
Monument Health told us that only, like, 25% of people in West River are doing, like, good social distancing. Does the Department of Health also track this, or can you speak to, like, how this is determined and what people should be improving on?
Yeah, so, you know, really what it comes down to is, you know, we have had a focus on, you know, what is the overall impact and actually trying to quantify that to social distancing and what percentage, people are taking the degree to which people are social distancing. And so, yeah, I think the Monument model, you know, is looking at and very much aligned, with other models throughout the state in terms of looking at what is that overall impact of social distancing and trying to quantify that. Now, there are a couple different ways that individuals can look at that. There are some metrics out there that, like Google has, that are ways to kind of track in cell phones as they are moving around, and so there are some ways that help inform that general discussion, but no specific formula in terms of how the metric of 25% social distancing is actually created. So it's more of looking at some of the other factors that we have at our fingertips to be able to best estimate what the overall impact is within the community.
Next
so that
question.
Figure is kind of informed by cell phone data and anything else, or it's some concerning?
I mean, there's a lot of different. The only example that I had given, was cell phone data as an example of metrics that are out there. You know, if you're specifically interested in how that is incorporated into models, you'd have to speak to you know, the groups that are conducting those that modeling. But just the example of you know, cell phone data to kind of track how and where individuals move around is just one example.
Next question.
Another question I have is, can you give an update on the mass testing in long-term care facilities and any trends you're noticing so far?
Sure. So in terms of just the total number, we have a couple of different tiers. We are nearly complete with Tier 1 and actively seeing the testing happening in Tier 2. We have a couple of facilities that are in Tiers 3 and 4 who have also conducted their tests. So far, we've got 2,570 residents that have been tested and 3,706 staff who have been tested. We're continuing to work with facilities to help them get set up with the supplies and the PPE and the other things that they need to be successful, and are very pleased that all facilities are already scheduled. I've already conducted their tests, already scheduled, or in the process of doing that. So they've been great to work with, and we really appreciate their partnerships as well.
Next question.
Yeah, JP from KORN News again.
Go ahead.
Regarding tourism, if we have some visitors coming into the state, let's say like from Missouri or Texas or something like that, and they would become ill with COVID-19 and test positive here in South Dakota, would those tests be added to our list?
Specifically what we do is the individual who was tested, that information follows them back to their state of residence. Now, the you know, obvious concern is that individuals who are being tested, you know, within the state, and you know, how can we continue to use that information? And that is something that, you know, we're looking at. But just know that the Department of Health does conduct the interview for those individuals, or if they have returned home by the time that their testing returns, that we work with the other public health, state public health agencies to collect that information, and we would do specific public notices and individual close contact notifications for those individuals as is appropriate.
Next question. Any other questions? All right. Well, thank you.
Hello.com News.
Go ahead, Todd.
Thank you. Sioux Falls' restrictions are going to come off tomorrow. Most of the rest of the state has doesn't have restrictions. We're seeing, as you've talked about today, increased testing for long-term care facilities, and we still look like a couple of hot spots at a couple of other beef packing plants or packing plants. Does the department see a possible surge in the next 1 to 4 weeks as these restrictions come off and people begin to resume their more normal routine?
So, I mean, I definitely think that that's one of the areas that we do need to monitor, and that we ask for you know, individuals to take precautions as they're kind of re-entering society at large, as some of these restrictions are coming off, that there's a focus on businesses to safely have customers and patrons in their facilities. The other focus is, you know, just making sure that we have